Good morning. It's a joy to see everyone here this morning. Welcome to the Lord's house. Please, as always, take a few moments to sign a friendship register at the end of each row and pass it to the person seated next to you. And please look inside your bulletin for information about outreach opportunities and upcoming events in the fellowship of Berry Christian Church. There are needs of our food pantry, and there's a school supply collection going on, as well as a family promise collection happening. The Men of Faith Fellowship Group will meet this Thursday, July 28th at 6 o'clock p.m. Our guest speaker will be a member of the Kansas City Police Department. We would appreciate a head count so we can know how much food to prepare. There is a sign-up sheet back on the table back in the foyer, so if you could put your name on that before you leave today, it would be helpful for the men to ensure there's enough food for everyone in attendance on Thursday. There will be a board meeting today right after the 11 o'clock service in the upper room. If you are an elder or a deacon or a committee chairperson, please do plan to be present at noon today. There are a few brief items of business that need to be discussed that require a quorum vote. Also, this just in, the elevator is not in service today. The shaft got flooded at some point overnight, so there'll be no elevator. And please be careful if you go downstairs for donuts after the service. The floor may be a little bit damp still. All right, may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his temple. Praise him for the mighty things he has done. Praise the Lord, all living creatures. Praise the Lord. We'll now sing number 707, Marching to Zion, stanzas 1 and 4.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through
we bow for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the privilege to gather in this place of worship. We are grateful for air conditioning this morning and for the fellowship with like-minded Christians here among our church family. Despite the crises and conflicts happening in the world around us and our differences of opinions at times, we are grateful for the opportunity to focus on our united beliefs that you are the one true God and that Jesus Christ is our risen Lord and Savior. We invite your presence now as we begin our worship service together, and as we pray in Christ's name, amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the ever shall be, world
please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, please be seated. We would love to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of page 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
But come on, come up, right up here, right up here. This is one of our new friends that we met at VBS. And actually, we met his brother, too, but apparently brother was very tired this morning. So this is Asen, and he's going to help me out here with, as long as, all right, see, I'm so disorganized this morning. That's why I need Asen to help me, because I'm very disorganized this morning. So we're going to talk a little bit in the coming weeks about friends. So, what's one of the most important things to you about a friend? You don't know? Well, to me, it's somebody that listens to me. You know? If a friend listens to you and you listen to them, that's a good thing. That's why Jesus is one of my best friends. Because he always listens to me. No matter how, if you think about, how does he listen to all of these people at the same time? Man, that's got to be hard. Just for instance, in Kansas City, the number of people in Kansas City is 1,698,000. So this little bag of rice here, for each one of these little tiny pieces of rice, it'd take 34 bags of rice to make that many people. Now, don't ask me who sits around and counts the grains of rice. I don't know. That's just what Google told me. So, you know, and if that's what Google says, it's got to be right, right? There you go. So 34 bags. But even if every single person in Kansas City decided to pray at exactly the same time, over 1 million people, God would, and Jesus would still hear us. They always hear us. I think that's amazing. As a matter of fact, even if every single person in the whole world prayed at the same time, which is, by the way, almost 8 billion people. Not million, billion. Whoa. So, how about if we say a little prayer and talk to Jesus? Yeah? Okay. Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the fact that you are always there to listen when we're happy, when we're sad, no matter what's going on, you hear us. You hear our words, whether we're praying with friends or all alone. And we appreciate that greatly. Please keep us all safe in the coming week. Help us enjoy this supposedly cooler weather this week. We'll love it. We thank you always, God, for your presence among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you, Asim, for being here this morning, and for Mom Sam for bringing our little buddy for his maiden voyage here to church. As we begin our time of prayer this morning, we certainly hold Pastor Dennis and his wife Carrie in our prayers, as Carrie was diagnosed with COVID this past Thursday. I talked to Dennis last night and learned that he's so far dodged the symptoms of the virus, and that Carrie has the common head cold variety, as it's called, and she's being treated with some antiviral drugs and seems to be doing pretty well now. There was an article in the Kansas City Star a few days ago indicating several hospital systems in this area are seeing a concerning increase in COVID cases. So just be aware that we're not fully out of the woods yet, and be mindful of the need for continued hand washing and sanitizing, and also face masks and social distancing when symptoms do occur. We express our sympathies for the family of Lon Anderson, who passed into the Lord's presence this past Wednesday morning following a battle with stage 4 cancer and a brief time in hospice care. At the moment, I do not have information regarding upcoming services for Lon, but will certainly let that be known when what plans may be made. A word of praise, as Carol Koch was able to return home from North Kansas City Hospital a few days ago, and Lois Berry has moved to a new apartment in assisted living at Tiffany Springs Senior Living Community. We pray for John and Mary Jane Adams and their family, as John is scheduled for prostate surgery this Wednesday, the 27th. We also keep Bob and Judy Settles in our prayers, as they will be moving into an apartment at the Primrose Retirement Community on Tuesday. My own parents have lived there for about 5 years, and it's just a wonderful place. Jill Gregory continues to be at Newmark Care Center, but is scheduled to undergo yet another hip surgery on August 3rd as she continues to fight persistent infections. Please keep Evelyn Prushner in our prayers, as she's been diagnosed with breast cancer, and you may recall that Evelyn celebrated her 100th birthday just a few months ago. Rihanna Ralston continues to be in our prayers as she awaits surgery, and while her husband Tyler is recovering from the coronavirus. Larry Pitts continues chemotherapy on an outpatient basis for cancer in his right jaw. Our music director Ryan's parents, Chris and Lori Layton, remain in our prayers, as his father Chris was able to return home from the hospital to continue his recovery from colon surgery. And Ryan just this morning tells me he's doing pretty darn well. Some other members of our church family to keep in prayer include Suzanne Darling, who is currently at home with Lisa and John. Jean Booth is at McCrite, Debbie Bazinski is at Ignite, and Lois Struck is at Paddington Place. We also keep in prayer Jerry and Betty Donahue, Amy Roberts, Dolly Llewellyn, Philip White, Sarah McFarland, and Rick Parvin. Family members we keep in prayer include Don and Mary Jane Hagen's cousin, David Brownfield, and his family in Columbia in St. Louis. Bonnie Wisdom's son-in-law, Chris Bishop, Katie Turner's cousin, Anoki Krager, and Lana Witten's granddaughter, Samantha Sander. We certainly remember the families, friends, and colleagues of fallen North Kansas City police officer Daniel Vasquez, whose end of watch was this past Tuesday after a shooting over a traffic stop for an expired license tag, of all things. Being myself the son of a retired police officer, and knowing there are a number of police families here among us, this one certainly hits close to home for many. With all these needs and concerns on our hearts and minds, may we go to God in a few moments of prayer. Merciful and loving God, while we sit in our safe place of worship in air-conditioned comfort, we realize that we are more privileged than many in this world, or even in our own communities. There are many in our cities who cannot afford the comforts we sometimes take for granted. There are also many in the world that have experienced record high temperatures, and that some of these areas don't even have air conditioning, as it is so rarely needed in those parts of the world. We also realize there are areas where it is simply not safe to worship in the Christian faith. We continue to lift our prayers for the people of Ukraine as they remain under the attack of Russian leadership, and we also hold the people of Russia in our prayers, as most of them did not choose this war, yet they suffer the consequences of sanctions placed on them by other world powers. Here in our home community, we see the number of COVID cases on the rise once again. And while we are grateful that the newest strains of the virus do not present as severely as previous ones, there are still some who require being in hospital intensive care units and even ventilators, and that many of these folks were fully vaccinated and boosted. We continue to mourn the loss of many in our own families and indeed within the congregation of Berry Christian Church, as the pandemic has been ongoing for well over 2 years. We know we are all important children in your eyes, Lord, as the 10th chapter of Matthew tells us that you know every sparrow that falls from the sky, and each hair on our heads is numbered. Lord God, we come to you with hearts that are heavy at times, but with the comfort of knowing that in Matthew 11:28, Jesus tells us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will rest for your and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we do find that rest in Jesus. As we anchor ourselves to these scriptures of comfort and reassurance, may we now share together the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Abide with me.
if thou abide with me.
Thank you, Ryan. The communion table is a place that we don't come to alone. This is something that we do together each time we gather here in this place and worship. We partake together of this simple meal of bread and wine, or juice in our case, just as Jesus did some 2,000 years ago with his disciples in that upper room during that Passover supper. While this meal may not be time alone with God necessarily, in the physical sense, it can certainly be a one-on-one event with God for each of us individually. While we are many, we are one in the body of Christ. May we prepare for our time of communion by singing hymn number 615, I Shall Not Be Moved. We will do stanzas 1 and 3. Service, we remember the words of Scripture that tell us that our Lord Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took a loaf of bread, blessed it and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks for it, told his disciples that this is God's new covenant sealed with my blood. As often as you drink from this cup, do this in remembrance of me. In the words of the Apostle Paul, he reminds us that each time we take from this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow as Ronnie leads us in prayer.
Gracious God, here in the midst of this church, around this table, we are in the company of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer. You have revealed your loving ways to us in this broken bread and this poured cup. Now, as your light has shone in our lives, help us to light up others as we go through the week. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God, and we're all invited to share them freely now. Thank you. Scripture tells us it is best to give silently or privately, as opposed to making public announcements and highlighting our good deeds for our own recognition. We also know from Scripture that God loves a cheerful giver. Well, we can be private yet cheerful as we give just as freely as we've received. As we prepare to share our tithes and offerings, may we bow it as we're led in prayer by Roxy.
Offerings we are about to receive. Help us to use them wisely to better serve you. Bless our church and our pastor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, may these tithes and offerings be used to your glory, now and always. Amen. You may be seated. As most of you are aware, Pastor Dennis loves to tell stories of his time in West Texas. You thought you were going to get out of a West Texas story today, didn't you? But in his honor this morning, I thought I would share with this little West Texas story. A Texas state trooper pulled over a car on Interstate 10 about 62 miles west of Kerrville, Texas. When the trooper asked the driver why he was speeding, the driver said he was a magician and a juggler and was on his way to West Texas to do a show for the Shrine Circus, and he didn't want to be late. The trooper told the driver he was fascinated by juggling and said if the driver would do a little juggling for him, that he wouldn't give him a ticket. But the driver told the trooper that he'd sent his equipment on ahead and didn't have anything to juggle. The trooper thought for a moment and said he had some safety flares in a trunk and asked if he could juggle those. The juggler said he could, so the trooper got out 5 flares, lit them, and handed them to the juggler. The juggler, of course, was always eager to avoid an expensive speeding ticket, so he commenced the juggling. While the man was juggling, a car pulled in behind a state trooper's car, and a drunken, good old boy from Ingram, Texas, got out, watched a performance for a few minutes, then went over to the trooper's car, opened the rear door, and got inside. The trooper observed this and went over to his patrol car, opened the door, and asked the drunk fellow, "Just what do you think you're doing?" The drunk man replied, "You might as well take me on to jail, because there ain't no way I'm going to pass this sobriety test." So we didn't have a chance to get our sermon title in the bulletin, because by the time Pastor Dennis was made us aware that he could not be here today, Carol was already preparing to print the bulletin. But the sermon title today is called it's Meeting God One-on-One. Meeting God One-on-One. The scripture reading comes from the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Says that, this is Jesus talking, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." I want to highlight that verse 6, which says, "When you pray, go to your room and close your door." Go to your room and close your door. Did your parents ever say those words to you? Mine did. Lots. And I doubt my response was very prayerful during those times either. Pray alone, says Jesus. Pray alone. We know that Jesus modeled his own advice too. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 44 is the story of Jesus and the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. This takes place right after the Last Supper. And by that time, Jesus was very aware of what was going to happen to him, and he knew that he was up for some intense pain and suffering. So Jesus had some serious business to conduct with God. He left his disciples behind several times that night and went off by himself to pray. The scripture says that Jesus' soul was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And that's when Jesus said, "God, remove this burden from me, but only if it be your will." At one point, the scripture tells us that Jesus was prone, lying with his face to the ground. But he wasn't doing this to impress his disciples, because they weren't there. He'd left them behind, and they'd actually fallen asleep. But this was an intensely personal conversation between Jesus and his Father, his Heavenly Father. These two were alone in those moments, or even hours. It was a very heartfelt, one-on-one conversation with God. There's some Old Testament examples of influential people getting away for some time alone with God. We just finished VBS a few weeks ago, and our teachings that week were focused on Moses leading the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery. We saw how several times Moses went off to be alone to have a little visit with God. Exodus chapter 3 tells the story of Moses tending to his father-in-law's flock of sheep and being called by God from the burning bush. So God introduced himself to Moses and informed Moses he had a job for him. Nobody else was around to see or hear them. It was just Moses and God's voice coming from a burning bush. And it was there, standing in front of that burning bush, alone with God, that Moses was shown God's power. God told him to throw down his wooden staff, and that wooden staff became a snake. But when Moses picked a snake up by the tail, it became a wooden staff again. During Moses' one-on-one meeting with God, he learned what God was capable of doing. Now we fast forward to the Ten Commandments. Moses has stepped away from the people, as written in Exodus chapters 19 and 20. He went up a ways on Mount Sinai where he received the Ten Commandments. How many of you have seen a Ten Commandments movie from the late 1950s with Charlton Heston and Yvonne DiCarlo and a number of others? There's a really cool scene where Moses is up on the mountain by himself, receiving the Ten Commandments from God. And the scene keeps flipping back and forth between Moses up on the mountain and the Israelites who are camped at the bottom of the mountain. They had lost their faith and began making a golden calf to worship. They wanted something tangible that they could see and make sacrifices to. But Moses is upstairs, so to speak, all by himself, receiving the Ten Commandments with the fiery finger of God writing them. You can find that video on YouTube. It's pretty cool. It's about a 5-minute video, I think. Just search for Moses and Ten Commandments. So we've seen Jesus and Moses spend some one-on-one time with God, but there are other biblical examples of very important historical folks spending their one-on-one time with God as well. There's David, who became King David. He was also a shepherd, and he spent days and weeks in the field tending to his flocks. But God was training him in those years. See, David had to fend off some pretty serious predators. There were large animals, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. You've all seen The Wizard of Oz, right? Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It's not important. Anyway, these lions and tigers and bears wanted nothing more than to dine on a nice rack of lamb for dinner with some mint jelly. And wouldn't that pair well with a nice glass of Chardonnay? I guess these predators back then were a higher class than they are nowadays. Anyway, David had a slingshot, and he got pretty good at using it. He protected his sheep very well. We might say that David's time alone in those pastures was preparing him for God's larger purposes. And of course, we know that David would later slay the giant Goliath with that very slingshot that he used to protect his sheep. That time alone with God, those one-on-one conversations with God in those pastures in his younger days, was essentially a training ground for David's upcoming leadership positions. And then there's Joseph, whose brothers sold him into slavery, and he wound up in jail through no fault of his own. But Joseph remained fiercely loyal to God. Joseph was looked upon favorably by his jailers and eventually was placed in leadership positions, but not until spending some lengthy times in jail cells, alone and bored. While his contact with humans was likely limited in those times, his contact with God was unlimited. Lots of one-on-one conversations with God, I'm sure. In my social work career, I work with a few incarcerated folks over the years. There's a really cool program called Christ Behind Bars. These folks go into Kansas prisons and minister to the prisoners there. They share their personal testimonies, and they provide Bibles and Bible studies and worship services, and they pray with the prisoners, help them find a sense of hope for their futures. And many prisoners are introduced to Christ for the first time through this program. And I'm told by some of my incarcerated clients that they continue those relationships with Christ once they're back on the outside world. It's almost as if God needed them to be in a place where he could get their individual attention. And meeting Christ behind bars seems like a perfect way to have a one-on-one relationship with him. There's a fellow named Tookie Williams, who was the founder of the infamous inner city gang called the Crips. You've probably heard of the Bloods and the Crips over the years. I first became familiar with his work when I worked in an inner city alternative school, and many of the kids were being influenced by Kansas City street gangs. Tookie wrote several books while he was on death row at San Quentin. Turns out that a person on death row has nothing but time on their hands, and being locked in a 9-foot by 4-foot cell for 23 and a half hours a day for something like 7 years with only a metal bunk bed and a toilet and a small sink. Well, it gives a person time to think about things, doesn't it? And maybe make some changes. Tookie wrote a book called Life in Prison, which was specifically written for teenagers and young adults as sort of an atonement for his own past. He regretted the gangs he created and the resulting violence and killings, and wanted younger people to not follow in his footsteps. He'd found God during that time in that cell. He'd done a lot of research and reading and writing and praying and meditating. He wanted younger people to not follow in his footsteps, the violent, murderous footsteps of his past. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2001 because of his published writings, but he was eventually executed for the crime for which he was incarcerated. It was murder. But I do wonder how many young people's lives Tookie's writings might have impacted. And I don't mean to glorify a convicted murderer, but it's hard not to like this guy just a little bit after reading his books. And folks, lest we judge, think about this. Several biblical folks that I mentioned earlier were also murderers. So Moses murdered an Egyptian in Exodus chapter 2 before he fled to Midian. David committed adultery with a girl named Bathsheba, and then arranged for her husband to be killed in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11. Of course, he went on to become King David. So even murderers can become instruments of God, but not without first spending some time alone, some one-on-one time with God. Think about the prisons in your lives. Not just literal prisons, but the metaphorical prisons. I've met a number of war veterans who tell me the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder feel like a prison to them. They have nightmares. They have intense anger. It's hard to have meaningful relationships. Many of them report having had a foxhole conversation when they were taking shelter from heavy artillery deep inside a foxhole, having some serious one-on-one conversations with God there, pleading for their lives, bargaining for another chance at life from the God that many of them had just met in that foxhole. Another personal prison for some is addictions. I'm talking not the caffeine stuff, I'm talking to strong stuff like meth, cocaine, heroin, alcohol for some. Many addicts have their first one-on-one meeting with God through a 12-step recovery program that encourages giving control over to a higher power. Unfortunately, this often happens only after a DUI, or the loss of a marriage or a family or a job, a time when a person's in the greatest need to make changes in their lives. And those who have their first one-on-one visit with God often do so in a lonely room of an inpatient recovery program, or worse, a cold and lonely jail cell. Hospital ICUs are also places where one-on-one conversations with God might happen. I've been to a few of those myself. Once for a 10-day stay following an appendix rupture, and another time for 5 days following a hepatic artery dissection. It seems I had a few internal organs that decided to go rogue on me. Didn't really want to stick around in my body. But by the grace of God, a wonderful surgical team at St. Luke's Hospital and KU Medical Center saved my life a few times. The surgeon who operated on my burst appendix later told me that they almost lost me on that operating table as my kidneys had begun to fail. But of course, they later recovered. And as I thanked this fellow for saving my life, he told me there was one other guy in that OR that had just a little something to do with my pulling through. There were other times during these hospital stays that were pretty eye-opening for me. I received several visits from the hospital chaplain and social workers who asked me questions like, "Are all of my affairs in order?" When someone asks you that, that'll get your attention pretty quickly. And this was during a time in my own life when God needed to get my attention. I had been pulling away from my Christian faith. But God said to me, "Wait a minute. We got some one-on-one conversations to have." And we did. I've shared a much longer version of that testimony with a few of you, but this is the abridged Reader's Digest version. What I learned from these experiences is that sometimes we have to be put in places that aren't real pleasant in order for God to spend some critical one-on-one time with each of us. And after my own life experiences, I'm quite grateful for that. Well, folks, how about you? Do you know Christ? See, Jesus can be the path to lots of one-on-one encounters with God if you just let him. So if you've not yet accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe today is your day to do so. Your life will be transformed, I guarantee you that. If you'd come forward as we sing our hymn of invitation here in a few moments, I'll greet you right here and walk you through that great confession. Or perhaps you've already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you now find yourself away from your church home. If you'd like to unite with a church family here at Berry Christian Church, you would be more than welcome to do so simply by coming forward during our hymn. Or if you have anxiety about coming up in front of a church full of people, you're welcome to see us off to the side or contact us by phone or mail. May we sing our hymn of invitation, number 699, "Rejoice, the Lord is King," verses 1 and 3. May we stand. Folks, it's been my privilege this morning and my honor to serve God and Berry Christian Church and sharing the message this morning in Pastor Dennis's unexpected absence. I think next time he calls me at noon on Thursday and I see his name on caller ID, it just might go to voicemail next time. I don't know. Provided he remains symptom-free and tests negative for the virus, I imagine he'll be back with us next week. Just a couple of reminders for the men who plan to attend the Men of Faith meeting this week. There's a sign-up sheet back on the table, back in the foyer. Please do let us know if you plan to attend so we can prepare enough food for everyone. And also for those on the church board, please plan to attend the monthly board meeting in the upper room right after the 11 o'clock service. It'll start around noon today. Also, there's no elevator, and be careful walking downstairs for donuts. The floor may be a little bit slippery still. Maybe close in a word of prayer. Holy God, we again give you thanks for the privilege to gather and worship this morning. As we journey forward today and into the week, we pray that your Spirit will guide, guard, and direct each of us. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.